that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Mann.
Brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union, New England Fat Loss, and Jordan's Furniture.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Payoff pitch. High fly ball into left field, driving back Benintendi. He's all the way back. He's looking. She is gone. Grand slam for Perez. That is the first of his career.
See, this is just like the Red Sox. This is it. You guys asked me at the beginning of the day today how I felt about the Red Sox. I said, good win last night, and you had to get that win. You had to get the Sale game in Kansas City. Now, if you steal the one today, you get the one today in Kansas City, you take two out of three. Now you're 10 games over for the season, a season high. You've solidified your place in first place. You have a good road trip winning in Houston and Kansas City. Ultimately, I don't care how bad the Astros have been playing. They're a good team. And then Kansas City had been playing well, and you go in there and win in a place that you always, always, for as long as I've been alive, the Red Sox always have trouble in Kansas City. Always. And they had it. They had the game. You know, at one point today, the Red Sox had four hits, and they were leading 4-2. Two solo homers. Two solo homers. The team that can't hit home runs had two solo homers, and they were up 4-2 on four hits. And then what happened in the eighth inning? The meltdown of epic meltdowns, which we'll get to in a second. We can open up the phone lines, Jimmy Stewart. 617-779-0985 is our phone number here on the Baseball Reporters. What a meltdown. We remind you quickly, the Baseball Reporters is brought to you by GilletteOnDemand.com. Fabulous new service offered by Gillette, GilletteOnDemand.com, so check it out. Again, one more time, we'll take your calls right off the top, 617-779-0985. But here's where I'm going to start. That meltdown in the bullpen. The Red Sox are up 4-2 in the eighth. 4-2 in the eighth, for those of you that didn't see this or didn't know about it. Drew Pomeranz gets them into the seventh inning. Drew Pomeranz, who typically throws 125 pitches in five innings. Drew Pomeranz gets him into the seventh. Joe Kelly gets him out of the seventh. They're up 4-2 going into the eighth. So Farrell decides to go to Matt Barnes and Robbie Scott, which is basically what he's been doing. Kelly in the seventh, Barnes in the eighth with some help from Robbie Scott if he needs him. And then ultimately, I guess you have Heath Embry there too if you need him. And you know what happens? Let me give you the play-by-play. Before we do this, we should hand out the hazmat suits, because what's going on out in that bullpen is downright radioactive, this meltdown. A radioactive meltdown on the part of the Red Sox today. So Barnes comes in the game. He's 2-2 on Bonifacio, who's the leadoff hitter. 2-2 count. And then you know what happens, Murray? Ball. Ball. Walk. Lorenzo Cain comes into the batter's box. Ball. 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 So that's now six balls. Ball, 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 ball. Six balls by the Red Sox relief corps, by the radioactive Red Sox relief corps. Eric Hosmer comes up. Robbie Scott comes in. Two on, nobody out. Left-handed batter now, left-handed pitcher. What do you think happens? Ball, 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 ball. Four balls, another walk. I know, bases loaded now, nobody out, and the Royals haven't put a ball in play. Coaching visit to the mound. Salvador Perez comes up. What do you think the first pitch to Salvador Perez was by Robbie Scott?
I'm guessing a ball.
Ball. The 11th ball in a row by the Red Sox relievers. 11 balls in a row. Okay, Jimmy, we can kill the sound effect now. Is it wrong for me to say we have a crisis? We have a situation in the Red Sox bullpen? You know, going into today, the Red Sox had the second best ERA in the major leagues among their among all relief corps. Second best bullpen ERA in the majors the Red Sox did going into today. Ball, 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 ball. 11 balls in a row. 11 to load the bases with nobody out. And then 3-2, Robbie Scott throws a couple of fastballs, can't get him by Salvador Perez, who fouls him off, and then boom, grand slam. They lost the game 6-4. that Red Sox bullpen, and there is a little bit of an agenda here for someone like me, because earlier in the year I asked you, if you could fix one thing on the Red Sox, what would you fix? Some people said third base. Some people said they'd go and get a power hitter. Some people said starting pitching. I told you, bullpen. And I'm still telling you, bullpen. Tyler Thornburg is not coming back. Carson Smith may be coming back, but who knows what the hell he's going to look like when he comes back. And in the interim, Heath Hembree, Matt Barnes, Robbie Scott, even Joe Kelly, who has an ERA now that is dwindling toward one. It's almost an even flat one for Joe Kelly, even him. Do you really trust those guys? Because I don't. And that bullpen will be their undoing. How the Red Sox have gotten this far with that bullpen to me is a damn near miracle. It really is. I don't know how they've pulled it off. But you tell me, who do you blame? Because I know where you're going today, and boy, am I going to disagree with you. Tony's in Dorchester. Go.
Yo, what's going on, guys?
Tony, what do you got? Oh, it's Troy. I'm sorry. Troy, what do you got?
What's up, man? Listen, are we calling for John Tett already or what? I'm just sick and tired of looking at Red Sox games and seeing this guy so docile. Like, it's just like missing him. It feels like he's just out there, like, spinning his wheels. Like, you know?
So, Troy, listen. I'm no Farrell guy, okay? I'm no Farrell guy. But when your relievers go in the game and throw 11 straight balls to load the bases, what are you supposed to do?
Okay, today's an outlier. I'll give you that. However, he has not been showing up at all.
You're talking Farrell now?
Yes.
Okay, so look.
He is frustrating to listen about, to watch, to listen to him in interviews.
Well, he's just so monotone when you're talking to him. He's like, yeah, you know. Did the best we can do, and you know, I guess.
So, Troy, you know what? It's not even the monotone part of it. He just makes everything more complicated than it is.
It's the mismanagement, and it was eventually going to catch up with him because. And you talked about it, and so did Mike during the afternoon show. Is that, you know, for the most part, Farrell has done pretty well this year. He's played the hand that he's been dealt. He's dealt with a lot of injuries. You know, dealing with slobs like Pablo Sandoval doing absolutely nothing for him. So, you know, the fact that they're sniffing around first place or winning today in first place. He's basically done a pretty decent job, but that was going to end up catching up with him. The real John Farrell was going to, you know, he was going to pop up here again, and it's seemingly happening here in the last week.
See, now, once again, I find myself in the uncomfortable position of having to defend the manager when I really don't believe in the manager. So I don't think John Farrell's a great game manager. I don't.
Yeah, but he at least mismanaged Matt Barnes today. Like, he almost blew that game on Sunday night against Houston. He had walked. I saw Alex Speer tweet this. It's now 6 walks in his last 4 games, so he's been a mess. So when he walks that first batter, for the most part, you should have even went with Joe Kelly into the 8th inning.
Okay, so look, there are plenty of things to second guess. I'm not telling you I'm any sort of John Farrell defender, Murray, because I'm not. And you want to get on the manager? Believe me, as a fan, you have a right. As Murray said, you could add Kelly in there to start the 8th inning today. Kelly threw 13 pitches, 9 strikes, although he, too, walked a man in the 8th. Okay? So he walked a guy. Barnes came in, faced 2 guys, and walked them both. Was 2-2 and then threw 6 straight balls, all on fastballs. 6 fastballs, and he couldn't throw a strike. Your 8th inning guy, 6 fastballs, and he couldn't throw a strike. So then you have first and second. You bring the lefty in because Eric Hosmer's coming to the plate. And what does Robbie Scott do? 4 balls in a row to load the bases. The Kansas City Royals never had to put the ball in play, and you loaded the bases. Unbelievable. Now, look, you want to say at that point you had Salvador Perez coming up? How do you leave Robbie Scott in to face a right-handed batter? Could one of you guys just check real quickly? Tell me what you know what? We'll do that during the break. We'll find out what Robbie Scott's and Heath Hembree's splits are against left-handed and right-handed batters, respectively, if that makes sense. We'll find out Scott against right-handers, Hembree against left-handers, because honestly, I don't think there was a right answer there for John Farrell.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Radio.com. We have the Sox cover. This is the Baseball Reporter's Tony Maserata show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, we uncharacteristically lost the strike zone for a group that has been so good at not issuing too many walks throughout the course of the year when you consider what our work has been done to date. We had an inning that got away from us from the strike zone standpoint. You know, Matt was up in the zone, couldn't get the ball down. And then, you know, with the go-ahead run at the plate, with the possibility left on left to try to get a ground ball, there's four wide ones again. So it set the stage for the grand slam, unfortunately. And this one kind of stings because that group has been so good, so consistent for a better part of the whole entire season.
Fool's gold. It's what it is. It's fool's gold. That bullpen success, as good as the Red Sox bullpen has been, and it has been good. Again, entering today, second-best bullpen ERA in the major leagues. I think I told you yesterday, Murray, they were 13-5 as a relief corps. 13-5.
Right.
Their five losses tied for fewest in the American League. And those bullpen losses are always important. It's a big stat, right? Because just by definition, those are games that you're tied or leading late that you lose. Bullpen losses, right? Those are a big number. The Red Sox are tied for the fewest in the league. And their wins were up there, which means the opposite. Your bullpen's coming in and keeping the score where it is and giving you a chance to come back and win games that you otherwise shouldn't win. The one loss record for the bullpen to me, huge underrated stat. Huge. Today the Red Sox bullpen got its sixth loss. And if you want to blame Farrell, look, he's part of it. I'm not telling you it's zero blame on Farrell. But when you have relievers come in, big league relievers, in the seventh or really in the eighth and ninth innings of a game, and today they never got to the ninth, but that late part of the game, with men on base, and they crap their pants because they can't throw a strike, how do you pin that one on the manager? Oh, as much as I would love to pin this one on Farrell. And he's part of it. He's part of it. As Murray said earlier, Joe Kelly overall throwing the ball well, 13 pitches, 9 strikes. He didn't come out for the eighth. Kelly's the seventh inning guy. For whatever reason, Barnes and Scott get the eighth. Scott had to bail Barnes out in Houston, if you remember, the other night. That was the Sunday night game. The game Benintendi threw the guy out at the plate. That was Barnes' mess. Barnes can't find the plate right now. So the Red Sox, to me, have a shortage of reliable guys out there. And honestly, can we beat the crap out of the players or the pitchers for once? Barnes and Robbie Scott, 11 balls in a row. And wait till I get to the particulars of the matchups for those of you who wanted Heath Hembree in the game to come in and face Salvador Perez, and then behind Perez were two lefties. I know one was Mike Moustakas, and I don't remember who the Alex Gordon was the other one. So you had Mike Moustakas and Alex Gordon come up, which is why Farrell stayed with Scott. Okay, so again, oh God, do I hate doing this. I can't tell you how much I hate doing this, Murray, that I'm defending John Farrell. But Scott against the righty was a better play than Hembree against the lefties. I'll give you some good stats, too, for that bullpen late in the game. Boy, you're going to love these. Joe's in Nashville. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, how's it going, guys? The last couple weeks, the way this bullpen's pitched, I kind of looked at the trade deadline as having two issues that need to be filled, third base and starting pitching. But I think we can all agree after today that was kind of a mirage, and now there's three kind of major issues, and you can't rely on Carson Smith. And kind of back to a point that Murray's made.
Joe, what's the number one? What's the number one need on the Red Sox, Joe?
At this point, I want to say bullpen. You know, seeing the way that you know they kind of came back to reality today, because I think with third base you can get away with that. Your starting pitching, I think, can tread water up until the playoffs, and if you have a good enough bullpen, you can steal a series. But to Murray's point that he's made over the course of the year, is this team worth investing more assets?
Okay, so Joe, listen, when you say the bullpen, don't be skittish about it or shy about it. Bullpen's number one. You're not wrong to say that. Look, the starting pitcher thing, the Red Sox need for a starting pitcher, if they can't win with the guys they've got, I don't want them giving up more assets for another starter. Chris Sale, David Price, Rick Porcello, Drew Pomeranz, they've spent enough on pitching. They've spent enough on starting pitching. I don't want Pomeranz got them into the seventh today. I'm no Pomeranz guy, but overall he did his job. He did his job today. Now look, in terms of the relief corps, if you believe and Matt Barnes, Robbie Scott, and Joe Kelly, all the power to you, because I don't. Easily their biggest need. Easily. And I still want someone to tell me why Farrell should be blamed more than the pitchers. Tell me, it's okay. You can go off on the manager. It doesn't mean I'm right. Believe me. I am no Farrell fan. Not even close. And he's made some, last night, sending Chris Sale back out to the mound. I mean, it is, there's a lot of things to pick at John Farrell with. A lot. But today, 11 balls in a row by your two setup men. 11. They couldn't throw the ball over the plate. Nick's in Boston wants to bring up an interesting angle to this. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, hindsight is obviously 20/20 now that they blew a lead like that. But, I mean, this year, our closer has been arguably the best closer, right, in baseball, potentially, right? So that means he can close out a three-out inning at the end of the game in a pressure situation against good people. So when you look at the lineup going into the eighth inning and you got your best batters from Kansas City coming up, I mean, isn't there some thought that might need to go into it? And again, they lost the game, so now that we all know this, it's a little bit different. But put your best pitcher against the other team's best hitters, which just happened to be in the eighth inning. And if you need to go into the eighth with a two-run lead like they did today and throw something like a Barnes or someone like that out there and face their 6, 7, and 8 or 7, 8, and 9 hitters, wouldn't you feel kind of comfortable putting Kimbrell out there to face the best lineup?
Okay, so, Nick, listen, you raise an excellent point. Okay, you raise an excellent point. They've used Kimbrell a lot in the eighth inning this year, 5 different occasions, I think it was. And after the last one, Farrell admitted, and in fact, Jimmy, maybe we can find that cut. We can play that when we come back. Farrell admitted after the last time he used Kimbrell in the eighth that he thought he was pushing his luck and he didn't know how much more he'd be able to do it. I want to say it was in New York against the Yankees. And so he said, I don't know how much more I can do with that. You know, I'm getting to the point where I'm uncomfortable doing it. Today, apparently, in a weekly interview he does with our competition across the street, Farrell indicated that he's going to stay away from Kimbrell for a while in the eighth inning. And he also suggested that Kimbrell had a say in it and that Kimbrell ultimately did not want to pitch in the eighth anymore, at least for the time being, because he wants to be in the ninth. He's worried about the pitch total. You know, and again, I'm reading into it a little more than maybe I should, but maybe Kimbrell doesn't want to be in the eighth. Kimbrell wants to pitch in the ninth. In which case, Murray, do you have a problem with Kimbrell, if Kimbrell's saying that?
No, not particularly. I mean, he has to look out for himself, too.
See, I do. I do. And I'm not saying they should run him into the ground. And I'm not even saying today was necessarily the time you do it. Because there's nobody out today. So now you're relying on Kimbrell for 6 outs. Not 4, not 5. 2 full innings. I don't even remember the last time Kimbrell did. Did he do that this year, Murray? Jimmy?
I believe he has done it.
2 innings, 2 full? You're probably right. I mean, now that you mention it, it does sound like it is familiar to me that he pitched 2 this year.
April 20th at Toronto.
Was that the game he gave up the home run to Kendrys Morales?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I just...
Yeah, it would really depend
on... He got 5 outs at the Brewers, and he got 4 outs against the White Sox in May, and June 3rd at Baltimore, June 6th at the Yankees, 4 outs.
Okay, and there was a game in there, too, let's not forget, at Minnesota one time. He brought him in with 1 out in the 8th. Kimbrell got 2 strikeouts, get out of it, and then they blew the game open in the 9th, and he didn't come back out. So he was ready to use him for 5 outs there. Today would have been 6. But the caller does raise a good point. Farrell has done it, and do they now have an issue there with Kimbrell? Is Kimbrell no longer willing to take the ball in the 8th? Is that the problem? Or does Farrell not want to use him in the 8th, or is it a combination of the two, or what? As for the matchups, the specific matchups of Robbie Scott versus right-handed batters or Heath Hembree versus left-handed batters, I meant to get to those this segment. I promise I'll give you those when we come back.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
They're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
You know, it's been five times now, which is a high number. And I'll be honest with you, there's reluctance on my part to continue to do that. But there's 2 days off leading up to it. When we've done it previously, there's either been a day or two following where he's been down. I think the only other time that we've not done that has been in Chicago, where he had a couple days off leading up to it. And I think 20 pitches in an inning and a third, he saved the next day. And then we gave him a couple days down. So he's extremely valuable. He's incredibly talented. And it will closely be monitored every time he walks to the mound.
It's John Farrell on Craig Kimbrell almost exactly 2 weeks ago. That was after a game in New York. You remember Kimbrell came in, got extra outs there, shut down the Yankees. Red Sox almost gave that game away, but Kimbrell was awesome in the ninth inning. Today, Kimbrell stays in the bullpen. In fact, he didn't pitch in the whole series against the Royals. And you have an off day tomorrow. Further reason to second-guess the manager. The Red Sox blow it in the eighth. They give up four runs in the eighth. They walked the bases loaded and then gave up a grand slam. 11 balls in a row from Matt Barnes and Robbie Scott to load the bases. Should Kimbrell have been in there? Should he have been in there? I am actually in the minority here, and I don't blame the manager. And Rich and Quincy, I don't think, likes it. What do you got, Rich?
Tony, you have been waiting for this day all year. The bullpen has been fantastic for the most part, other than today. But you've just been waiting for them to screw up and to say that this is not a very good bullpen when it is a very good bullpen.
No, it isn't.
It is. They've been fantastic. This is the same thing you did last year with Travis Shaw. All year you told us Travis Shaw, he wasn't as good as he was playing, and now they've traded Travis Shaw, and we would love to have Travis Shaw back. You need to start using your eyeballs and not basing your opinions on I don't know who is giving you these scouting reports on these players.
Nobody's giving me the scouting report. I'm telling you, Rich, do you think Matt Barnes is a good pitcher?
I think Matt Barnes has done a decent job this year, but between Matt Barnes and Joe Kelly and Heath Embry and Craig Kimbrell, that is a pretty damn good bullpen, and it's a lot better than what we got for Travis Shaw.
Okay, so I will tell you that I don't think that is a good bullpen. I think they've performed well, and I give them all the credit in the world. To me, there's a difference. The question is, would you invest in those guys going forward? Would you invest in those guys going forward? Really, would you? Because if you would, then I don't know who's giving you info on pitchers. Matt Barnes is here against a left-handed batter. You know what makes a good pitcher? Let me tell you what makes a good pitcher. The ability to get out both lefties and righties. A guy who has enough pitches and enough stuff to be able to get out both. Koji Uehara got both. He was a good reliever. Matt Barnes against left-handed batters, 848 OPS. 848. Barnes can't get lefties. He doesn't throw strikes enough either. That's another thing that you have to do when you're a reliever. You got to throw strikes. How about Heath Embry? How about him against left-handers? You know what the number is? 333 batting average, 824 OPS. He's basically as bad as Barnes against left-handers. So if you want to bring Embry in to pitch to Salvador Perez, the next two batters are left-handed. Where do you go after that? I mean, you can go right, left, right, left, right, left if you want. Use one pitcher per batter. But then you get Fernando Abad pitching in the eighth inning. You want him in there? Because I don't. So look, Farrell had a hand in this. Please, don't get me wrong. Farrell had a hand in it. He absolutely had a hand in it. But their relievers, they're a bunch of sixth and seventh inning guys. You want to tell me you want to try Kelly in the eighth and we'll see how that goes? Fine. Let's give it a shot. Barnes, I've never been a Barnes guy. Ever, ever, ever. And Robbie Scott? Oh, please, come on. Junk ball and lefty. They think they found gold last year with Robbie Scott. Now they've taken it too far. Robbie Scott pitching in the eighth against a right-handed batter? Disaster. And that's what you got today. Dave's in Lynn.
All right. Obviously, these guys are sixth and seventh inning guys. Just look at what Dombrowski gave up to get Carson Smith and Tyler Thornburg.
Good point.
He won either both of them, he thought, because none of these guys were anything better than your fourth option. And so with that said, I mean, I don't know what Farrell's supposed to do. If he brings Kimbrell in the end, that's not a solution for a 162-game season to bring a closer in with nobody out in the eighth.
Okay, so Dave, listen, I want to get a little deeper into the Kimbrell thing because I think there's an angle there. Okay, and when I say that, I mean that The Red Sox are short, reliable arms in that bullpen. They've had to lean on the closer here more in the early part of the year than they would typically lean on him. Ideally, you want two or three good dominating relievers out there, a minimum of two. One's your eighth guy, one's your ninth. One setup, one closer. And then the setup guy, you want to move him around the way the Indians do with Andrew Miller, fine. You can do it that way. But even when the Red Sox went with a more traditional model, when they won the World Series in 07, it was Okajima. Right? There was Tozawa here in 2013. Like, there was always a guy that they went to in the eighth. A consistent, reliable guy that they went to in the eighth. I don't think they have that right now. Now, Farrell was asked, and because of that, they've had to lean on Kimbrel, which is why when Murray and I brought this question up two or three weeks ago, who's the MVP of the Red Sox this year? Craig Kimbrel was a good answer. They've leaned on Kimbrel more than they have a team would normally lean on its closer. They were using Kimbrel to set up and close. And they did it a bunch of times, and we just played the cut for you, Farrell from New York. So Farrell was asked tonight, in Kansas City, did you consider bringing Kimbrel in the eighth inning? Here's what he said.
No. Given the workload that he went through, what he was feeling coming out of those three particular appearances, that wasn't something that looked to entertain.
Okay, so now I want to find out more about this because my question is, why not? Is it because Farrell doesn't want to do it? Does Dombrowski not want to do it? Or does Kimbrel not want to do it? And if it's Kimbrel who doesn't want to do it, then I have a problem with it. Because I think the pitcher, ultimately, the job is to do whatever they want you to do. Too bad. Every once in a while, you're going to have to work a little harder. And I had a problem with Kimbrel with this last year. This idea that he couldn't pitch in non-save situations. You couldn't bring him into a tie game. You couldn't bring him into a tie game at home. You couldn't do that when you weren't going to have a save situation. You couldn't use your best reliever in a tie game at home. Boy, if the Yankees didn't do that when they had Mariano Rivera, they wouldn't have won all those World Series, I'll tell you that. You should be able to pitch in those situations. So, Kimbrel hasn't pitched the last 2 days, and you have tomorrow off. He could have given you more than three outs today. He pitched on Sunday night in Houston against the Astros. But he could have pitched again today, and he could have given you more than three outs. So if Kimbrel doesn't want to go out there, I want to find out why. I want to find out why. Is that Kimbrel saying that, or is that Farrell saying that?
It does seem like something is up here. And while I'm not as strong on this as you are, in that, you know, it's on Kimbrel and that he has to go out there and do this. Look, I mean, you got to, if he knows that it's probably going to end up taxing his arm if he's now going to be being called on time and again to do two innings, I could see the concern on the pitcher's behalf. And so I'm willing to give him a pass. But when you really do consider how much time he's had off and the fact that they have a day tomorrow, and you were looking at what? It was the 2-3-4 hitters in that Royals lineup in the eighth. He should be willing to go out there in that situation and win this game and take that series.
I mean, Murray, if you can find the comments from Farrell today, and again, he did his weekly interview with our competitors, I would love to see the exact quote of how he has come to the conclusion that he's not going to use Farrell in the eighth. He's not going to use Kimbrel in the eighth for a while. I mean, I think he basically said that he wasn't going to use Kimbrel in the eighth inning until late in the year. So that means it's out. It's not an option. And if it's not an option, how are they going to get through the eighth inning in some of these games? Because Matt Barnes and Robbie Scott are not the answer. I'm telling you, when you really look at it, they're not the answer. So the manager today could have gone to Kimbrel. Maybe the answer is to extend Kelly a little or change Kelly's role and go to him in the eighth. Do you know that Heath Hembree faced one batter this year with the bases loaded? You know what he did? He gave up a grand slam. Robbie Scott has now faced two batters with the bases loaded this year. You know what he's done? Given up a single and a grand slam. Combined, those two guys have faced hitters with the bases loaded three occasions this year. They've given up three hits, including two grand slams. Those are the guys you want on the mound with men on base in the eighth inning? Because I don't. I don't want those guys there. Ryan's in Andover. Go, Ryan.
Hey, what's up, Matt? Real quick, to assume that this bullpen is good, that caller didn't know what he was talking about because this is not a good bullpen. They've overperformed. But yeah, I think to reach on one of the other points one of the other callers made, Kimbrel being used in the eighth, I'm not on board with saying that he needs to pitch two full innings. I actually think it's a system that the stupid save stat is preventing managers from actually reading the eighth and reading the ninth
and choosing which inning to go with their best pitcher just because they're worried about the save stat. I mean, if they're facing 3, 4, and 5 in the eighth, I'd rather see Kimbrel out there for the eighth. If it doesn't mean he gets the save, then okay. But and real quick, one last thing. I don't mean to sound like a throwback Red Sox fan here, but Jonathan Papelbon is a free agent, and I swear to God he's better than Heath Hembree. Thanks.
Okay, so, Ryan, I want nothing to do with Papelbon. I don't. And you know what? These guys, the other guys are serviceable middle relievers. That's what they are. They're serviceable middle relievers. Heath Hembree is a middle reliever. You put him in the right spot in the sixth inning with a couple of righties coming up, he'll get him out. Robbie Scott against lefties in the sixth or seventh inning, no problem. He'll get him out most of the time. And Joe Kelly is the stuff to get everybody out, but it feels to me like he's just not all there. And I don't even know exactly what that means other than it's a focus issue, an aptitude issue, an intensity issue, a heart issue. I don't know what it is. But Kelly's got the stuff, and maybe now he's tapping into it finally. I don't know, although he walked a guy in the eighth today, too. You got to throw strikes out of the pen. And you got to be able to get lefties and righties, even if you only have a couple of pitches. To me, that's part one. That is the longer-term problem. You don't have enough arms in that bullpen. The shorter-term problem is, how do you manage it in the interim? How do you manage it better than today? Because I think the way they've been doing it up to now, honestly, has been playing with fire. I've said over and over, Farrell has walked through a minefield with these guys. This thing has been waiting to blow for a long time. And it happened today in Kansas City because they couldn't throw a strike. They had a 4-2 lead in the eighth. They threw 11 balls in a row. Big league pitchers, 11 balls in a row, and they couldn't throw a strike. And then they gave up a grand slam. Shocker. So the question is now, how do you get by it in the short term? Is it Kelly in the eighth? Or does Kimbrel actually have to suck it up now and go back and pitch in the eighth inning every now and then? Even if it's once a week. Whatever it is. And that's a lot. Once a week is a lot. But you can't lose a game like that. You can't lose a game like that. A good team, a playoff team, does not blow that kind of game. It doesn't happen.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Radio.com. Radio.com.
The business you run may be small, but your responsibility, that's always big. Real big. Like answering all of your employees' health insurance questions? That's on you, boss. But not to worry. Anthem Blue Cross has real people your employees can talk to who can help. Oh, and you're also responsible for company outings? Might I suggest laser tag?
For all the things that keep you up at night, Anthem has a solution. Real people, empowered to get you on the right track. Anthem Blue Cross. Rest easy. Click the banner to learn more.